Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 43. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 43. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened.' All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.'" We said last time that Matthew chapter 13 records the events of a crisis day in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Jesus knew that the opposition from the Jewish religious leaders was growing, and that would ultimately lead to his crucifixion. And he had to explain this fact to his disciples, that he was going to be crucified. He was soon going to be crucified. He also knew then that their logical question would be, what will happen to the kingdom about which we have been preaching? And that is the question that is answered in this series of parables. So Jesus first explains the truth concerning the kingdom, and then later he explained to them the facts about the cross. So on that day, Jesus gave a series of 7 interrelated parables, and then he added an 8th parable. We saw that the word parable means to cast alongside. A parable is a story or comparison that is put alongside something else to help make that lesson clear. But these are not ordinary parables. Jesus called them the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 13 verse 11. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. In the New Testament, we said a mystery is a spiritual truth that is understood only by divine revelation. It is a sacred secret. A sacred secret known only to those on the inside, the inner circle, those who are willing to learn from the Lord and obey him. In this series of parables, Jesus explained the course of the gospel in the world. If Israel would have received Jesus as king, the blessings would have flowed out from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. But the nation rejected Yeshua, Jesus, their own Messiah. And God had to institute a new program on earth. And during this present age, the kingdom of heaven is a mixture of truth and falsehood, a mixture of true and false. It is a mixture of good and bad. That is what we see pictured in these parables. So in these parables, what we see is Christendom. People professing allegiance to Jesus, the King. And yet, in Christendom, we see Christendom contains so much that is contrary to the principles of the King, Jesus. So these seven interrelated parables in Matthew chapter 13 describe for us the spiritual course of the kingdom of heaven in this present age. And in these parables, we see three stages of spiritual development. Number one, we see the beginning of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13 verses 1 to 23, which we looked into last Sunday. Then we see opposition to the kingdom, Matthew chapter 13 verses 24 to 43. And then we see the outcome of the kingdom, Matthew chapter 13 verses 44 to 50. We looked at the beginning of the kingdom in the parable of the sower, also called the parable of the soils. We saw that last week. And today we will look at the opposition to the kingdom, Matthew chapter 13 verses 24 to 43, which is our text for this morning. Now, Satan opposes the kingdom by trying to snatch the word from the hearts of people. We saw that last Sunday, Matthew chapter 13 verse 4. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path and the birds came and devoured them. Matthew 13 verse 19 gives us the interpretation. Matthew 13 verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. But when this strategy of the devil fails, he has other ways of attacking God's work. These three parables, which we are going to study today, reveal that Satan is primarily an imitator. Satan plants false Christians. Number two, he encourages a false growth. And number three, he introduces false doctrine. False Christians, false growth, false doctrine. So these are his methods. Number one, we look at the tares, which is the false Christians. The tares, the parable of the tares. Matthew 13 verses 24 to 30 and Matthew 13 verses 36 to 43, which gives the interpretation. I'll read to you again. Matthew 13 verses 24 to 30. He put another parable before them saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Matthew 13 verses 36 to 43 gives the interpretation. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Satan cannot uproot the plants. The plants are the true Christians. Remember, Jesus said, no one can snatch you out of my hand. Jesus promised us that no one can snatch us out of his hands. He also promised us that no one can snatch us out of the Father's hands. So what does Satan do? Satan plants counterfeit Christians in their midst. And in this parable, the good seed is not the word of God. The good seed is not the word of God here in this parable. The good seed represents people converted through trusting the word. And the field is not human hearts. The field is the world. So what is Jesus doing? Jesus is sowing true believers in various places, in different parts of the world, in different places that they might bear fruit. That's what Jesus is doing. He's sowing true believers in various places that they might bear fruit. John chapter 12, verses 23 to 26. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So what does Jesus do? What is he doing now? He is sowing true believers in different parts of the world that we might be witnesses for him, that we might bear fruit. But wherever Christ sows a true Christian, Satan comes along and he sows a counterfeit. He sows a counterfeit. That's what Satan does. We must beware of Satan's counterfeits. He has counterfeit Christians. The Apostle Paul speaks about these counterfeit Christians, calling them false brothers. False brothers. When speaking of his own suffering for the sake of the gospel, the Apostle tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 26, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. So these counterfeit Christians, they are false brothers, they are counterfeit Christians, they believe a counterfeit gospel. Galatians chapter 1 verses 6 to 9. Galatians chapter 1 verses 6 to 9. "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." I remember growing up in the Orthodox Syrian Christian Church as a little boy, in the liturgy of the Orthodox Christian Church, in the Orthodox Syrian Christian Church, the liturgy in the Orthodox Syrian Christian Church, there is a song which goes like this, which actually is nothing but these verses from Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. Paulos liha den yanjolgatte nideham ningal nyangal arichathori chingiruven vannarichal vanavaningilum aduden thanelkum sabayin shabam paladaravadeshangalaho paril mulachu parakkunnu ദൈവത്തിന് ഉപദേശം തോ തവസാനിപ്പിപ്പോദാന്യൻ goes on to say, സ്തോമൻ ഗാലോസ് കുറിയേലായിസോൻ. I think I would have become an അച്ഛൻ in the Orthodox Syrian Christian Church if I was not saved and if the Lord had not called me and made me his. But this is the truth they are explaining there. But even if we are an angel from heaven, verse 8, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Sad to say that even knowing this, all kinds of contrary things happen in churches today. Satan encourages a counterfeit gospel. Satan also encourages a counterfeit righteousness. Romans chapter 10 verses 1 to 4. Romans chapter 10 verses 1 to 4. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. You see the counterfeit righteousness. Thinking that they can attain righteousness before God by their own. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Satan also has a counterfeit church. Revelation chapter 2 verse 9. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. G. Campbell Morgan, he was the one who wrote, this is what he said, it is a very remarkable thing that the Church of Christ persecuted has been the Church of Christ pure. It is a very remarkable thing that the Church of Christ persecuted has been the Church of Christ pure. The Church of Christ patronized has always been the Church of Christ impure. The Church of Christ patronized has always been the Church of Christ impure. You see, the early church was a pure church, but it was a persecuted church. And that persecution led to more and more purity. But in AD 312, when Constantine claimed to become a Christian and united the church and the state, then it became the in thing to call yourself a Christian. The persecuted church became the prosperous church, and along with that came in all the false doctrine into the church, which carries on even today. At the end of the age, Satan will also produce a counterfeit Christ. A counterfeit gospel, a counterfeit righteousness, a counterfeit church, a counterfeit Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 1 to 12. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. True believers in the Lord Jesus Christ must be alert to make sure that Satan's ministers do not get into the true fellowship and do damage. In fact, the whole of 2 Peter chapter 2 speaks about these false teachers. I'll just read a few verses in the beginning. 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. So God will judge them. 1 John chapter 4 verses 1 to 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So it is when God's people go to sleep, when they're not alert, when they're not watchful, it is then that Satan works. Matthew chapter 13 verse 25. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When God's children are not awake and alert, then Satan creeps in. So the task of true believers is not to... What is the task of true believers? When Satan comes and sows the weeds, what must believers do? When God's children are not awake and alert, Satan creeps in, he sows the weeds. And the task of true believers is not to pull up the false, but to plant the true. That is our task. Matthew chapter 13 verses 28 to 30. He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no. Lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn. You see, we are not detectives. We are evangelists. We are witnesses. We are witnesses of Christ to the lost world. We must oppose Satan and expose his lies. But we must also sow the word of God and bear fruit in the place where God has planted us. That is what we are called to do. Now what will happen to the tares? God will gather them together and burn them. Matthew 13 verses 40 to 42. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is interesting to see that some of this bundling is already going on as various religious groups are merging and striving for union. Spiritual unity among true believers is important. But all this religious uniformity among mere professing Christians is quite another thing. It is hypocrisy. It is Satan's counterfeit. It is difficult to tell the false from the true today. That's why we must check for fruit. But at the end of the age, the angels will definitely separate them. Then we come to the second parable, the parable of the mustard seed, which is about false growth. False growth. Matthew chapter 13 verses 31 to 32. All of us desire that the church will grow, but there is also false growth. We must beware. Matthew chapter 13 verses 31 to 32. He put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Now, in the east, the mustard seed symbolizes something which is very small and insignificant. It produces a large plant, but not a tree. In the strictest sense, it's not a tree, but the plant is large enough for birds to sit in the branches. Now, since Jesus did not explain this parable, we must use what he did explain in other parables to find out what this means. The birds in the parable of the sower represented Satan. Matthew 13 verse 19. Remember the parable of the sower or the parable of the soils? The birds there represented Satan. Matthew 13 verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Now, when you study passages in Daniel and Ezekiel, Daniel chapter 4 verse 12, Ezekiel 17 verse 23, all this indicate that a tree is a symbol of world power. A symbol of world power. Daniel chapter 4 verse 11 and 12. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole world, to the end of the whole earth. Its leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heavens lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. And Daniel identified this enormous tree as King Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor of Babylon. Daniel chapter 4 verse 22, Daniel tells the king, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 4 verse 22, "It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth." Again, Ezekiel chapter 17 verse 23. "On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar, and under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest." Now, these facts suggest that the parable teaches an abnormal growth of the kingdom of heaven. It is a kind of growth that makes it possible for Satan to work in it. Certainly, Christendom has become a worldwide power with a complex organization with so many branches. What started in a humble manner today boasts of so much of material wealth, material possessions, and political influences also. Now we come to the next parable, the parable of the leaven, which is false doctrine. False doctrine. Matthew chapter 13 verse 33. He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened." The mustard seed illustrates the false outward expansion of the kingdom, while the leaven illustrates the inward development of false doctrine and false living. Throughout the Bible, leaven is a symbol of evil. It had to be removed from the Jewish homes during Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verses 15 to 19. Exodus 12, 15 to 19. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days. But what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. Again, Exodus 13, verse 7. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory. Leaven was also excluded from the sacrifices. Leviticus chapter 2 verse 11. No grain offering that you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven nor any honey as a food offering to the Lord. The only exception was of the loaves that were used at the feast of Pentecost. Leviticus chapter 23 verses 17 to 18. You shall bring from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread to be waved, made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. And you shall present with the bread 7 lambs a year old without blemish, and 1 bull from the herd and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Here the loaves symbolized Jews and Gentiles in the church, the body of Christ. Jesus used leaven to picture hypocrisy. Luke chapter 12 verse 1. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Jesus also used leaven to picture false teaching. Matthew chapter 16, verses 6 to 12. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus aware of this said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Leaven is also a picture of worldly compromise. The Apostle Paul used leaven to picture carnality in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 6 to 8. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He also used leaven to picture false doctrine. Galatians chapter 5 verse 9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You see, sin is like leaven, yeast. That's leaven. It quietly grows, it corrupts, and it puffs up. It describes the arrogant. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 18 to 19. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 2. And you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1 and 2. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. So there is a wrong teaching. There is a wrong teaching that makes the growth of the leaven a picture of the spread of the gospel throughout the world. This would violate the meaning of this important symbol. It would also contradict the other parables. Satan has worked hard to introduce false doctrine and false living into the ministry of the word of God. From the very early days of the church, true believers have battled false doctrine and hypocrisy. How sad it is that some churches and Bible colleges that were once true to the word of God have turned from the truths turn from the truth to fables. The Bible tells us, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. That is good, sound counsel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. But test everything, hold fast what is good. In other words, let everything be filtered through the word of God. Ask yourself, does what I see and what I think is okay, does it tally with the word of God? Is it in line with God's word? If it is not, please throw it aside. That's why the apostle tells us, test everything. Hold fast what is good. Ask yourself, is my faith in Christ being corrupted by a counterfeit gospel? Has the leaven of hypocrisy and false teaching crept in? Am I being awake? Am I watchful? Am I alert? Stick to God's word. Don't budge from it. And please don't get caught up in traditional Christianity. That's just another religion. Christianity is insanity without the person of Jesus Christ. So don't get entangled with the weeds. The kingdom of heaven began with the sowing of the word of God in the hearts of men. Much of the seed did not bear fruit, but some was fruitful. Satan opposed the work. Satan opposed the work of God by sowing counterfeit Christians, and that's what he's still doing. By encouraging a false growth, that's what he's still doing. By introducing false doctrine, he's still doing that. Now, it would seem that Satan is winning, but the test is at the end of the age, not during the age. The test is at the end of the age. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verses 40 to 43, just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.